what I wanted this morning, Gaylene, is not just have you come and speak, because you really won't get to know us. So hopefully this morning you've got a little bit of a better sense of how God is at work in the river and what he's doing and just our heart and our just where we're at. But now we'd like to hear from you. So come on up. Let's give Gaylene a warm welcome.
It's good to be here. It's been a year. I was here a year ago, and that's when we signed the Seamless Link, and Steve Foster was here with us that Sunday, and so it's good. I'm now in Canada for about 7 months. They call me a missionary here, but I'm actually not a missionary in Cuba because they don't have missionaries there. They don't give missionary visas. So I go in as an international worker with the Christian Missionary Alliance, and they know who I am. They know what I'm doing, but I don't officially call myself a missionary. It's a semi-closed country, so we don't advertise on the web page or anything like that, that we're doing missionary work in Cuba. But I am involved in the Alliance churches in Cuba there. And, you know, so one of the things that I've seen in Cuba that has sort of ties in with what you've been talking about here is that God has raised up a prayer movement in Cuba that is amazing. It is absolutely amazing. And God used the Christian Missionary Alliance back in the year 2009 to actually, before I even got to enter Cuba and start ministering there, and brought about some real miracles because of prayer. And one of the biggest miracles that tie in with what your pastor's been saying here, what Darcy's been saying here, is that he has united churches in Cuba through prayer. You know, one of the things that we see in Scripture in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, the only time that the disciples asked Jesus to teach them anything, what was it? They said, Lord, teach us to pray. They didn't say, teach us to preach, teach us to teach us to be good counselors, teach us to be good parents. It said, teach us to pray. And I just love what God has done through prayer in Cuba. Starting in 2009 when they started doing a focus on prayer in our Alliance churches, it was based on a lot of the work that actually our team leader, Blake, and our national church president wrote this book, The Divine Prayer Clock, and they started teaching it in our churches, the importance of praying 24/7. And uniting in prayer. And then the word got out to the other churches. And then they said, can you come and do conferences in our church as well? And show us what it means to pray like this. And then just kept on growing and growing and growing. So that today, in Cuba, there are 40 denominations that are united in prayer across the island. And even some really conservative, just so you know, if you ever come in, and Dorothy can attest to this, and Darcy as well, the Alliance in Cuba is Pentecostal. I mean, they don't call themselves Pentecostal, but they're very charismatic and Pentecostal in their way of worship and all that kind of stuff. And the prayer movement has sort of had that little bit of a touch to it, of influence. But as of last year, the Lord has been touching the hearts of very conservative denominations in Cuba, Baptists and other denominations that have just said, yes, we want to pray. And it's just been so beautiful to see that prayer movement developing there. And, you know, I was doing a little bit of research about, as I was thinking about this whole influence of prayer in Cuba, not only in the prayer movement across the island, but just how it's affected my ministry there as well. And I read a book recently, Mark Buchanan, you've heard of him, right? And he wrote a book called The Four Best Places to Live, Discovering Prayer, Worship, Expectancy, and Love. And in chapter 2, he calls it the House of Prayer. And I love what he says there. Prayer is the center of a Godward life. It is to pay attention to God in the ordinariness and dailiness of our lives, being as mindful, if not more so, of God as we are of flesh and blood people, heeding his presence and his desire above all others. So he expresses it sort of as divine attentiveness. And so as we're divinely attentive to God, he helps us to unite within our own body here. But I think he wants us to be attentive also to what's out there around us and what the goal that you have here in the river. And I just love that this is a desire of Darcy's heart and many of you as well. Another thing that Buchanan says, which I love, he says, it's not by accident that both Jesus and Paul describe the true temple of God as our bodies. This temple, my body, needs to become a house of prayer. At the heart of the life in the house of prayer, there's a joining of God in his kingdom purposes and a hastening of their fulfillment. I love this next statement. Your life is pulled into the grand, sweeping, global purposes of God. Let me repeat that. You're joining God in his kingdom purposes and hastening their fulfillment. Your life and my life is pulled into the grand, sweeping, global purposes of God. What does it make you feel like? Pulled into the grand, global, sweeping purposes of God for our group here, for Squamish, for Cuba. It's beautiful. We can be a part of this through our participation in prayer. And what God has done in Cuba in uniting the churches there, he can do the same here. And I just wanted to share just one story with you of some of that, because I work with pastors' wives in our churches, in Alliance churches in Cuba. And our goal in all of our ministries there is anything that we are offering to our people in the Alliance, we want to extend to other denominations as well. We're not working just by ourselves. You know, this is our Alliance little thing and our Alliance ministry to women, and that's all we're going to do. Our goal eventually is to extend the teaching and the training that we're giving our women in the women's ministry in Cuba to extend it to other denominations. We've done that in our microeconomic projects with microloans. We've invited other churches, and we've given them loans so that they can be part of a co-op and do a business and raise money for themselves and start helping our churches to become self-supporting. We've done it in the prayer movement, and we're going to do it in all of our ministries there. That is our goal, because we want to share what God is doing with us with other people as well. I'm just going to share one story with you of one pastor's wife, just to see, so you can see what prayer has done in her life and how God is working. And I'm just going to call her Y. I don't want to give her name away, but she's the pastor's wife in a province close to Havana. And she came to faith in Christ after two failed relationships with men. Then she met and married this Alliance man, and he soon after that became a pastor. Between them, they have three sons, one his, one hers, and one theirs. That is very common in Cuba. Her husband has also had two other relationships with women before marrying Y. Y describes her search throughout life as a search for justice. Her relationship with her mother was extremely difficult. She never felt loved by her mother. Instead, she felt her mother treated her unfairly, and it seemed to her that Y felt like her mother always blamed her for everything that went wrong as she was growing up. So Y's goal in life was to get out of the home and to find someone who would love her, who would value her, and treat her fairly, and looking for things that she had lacked in her own home. Her search for justice and fairness has always been the most important thing in her life. Probably her favorite phrase is, it's not fair. It's not fair what's happened to her. Y was one of the women who studied the course I gave to small groups of pastors' wives called Developing a Discerning Heart in 2012. Through this course, she learned many things which have freed her from past hurts. Here, in her own words, I want to quote what she says. Y says, thanks to God and our Lord Jesus Christ who led me to that place, the place where we had did the course together. I could not describe exactly what I experienced there. The course greatly captivated my interest. I was able to discover how many wrong directions I had taken to achieve my longings and goals. I was able to discover myself and understand clearly the original design in which I had been created, to know who I am in the eyes of God and to understand the worth I have in Him. All this has changed my perspective now on how I feel and act, not basing it anymore on what others think or say of me, but what I am, a reflection of His image. Now, since taking that course, Not everything has just cleaned up in Y's life, and everything is just going rosy now. No, it has not been an easy road that she has taken or that she is on right now. Although she has learned that seeking 100% justice in this fallen world is not possible, she still struggles with that, wanting that, especially in her marriage. She feels her husband treats her unfairly. Rewind back to her mother and the treatment in the home. So she's getting this from her own husband and does not value her. She feels she is constantly being judged by him for her words and her actions. It's not fair, she has said over and over to me as we've met and talked and prayed through this matter. Not only was this affecting her marriage, but it was affecting her church, their church, and their ministry. Recently, the Lord has answered prayer for why? No. Not changed her husband completely. She gave testimony recently of what God had taught her when she was helping me facilitate a course where we were teaching women leaders and pastors' wives to be facilitators. Y and I were sitting through a practice lesson of one of the participants, and the participant was doing a lesson on suffering and asked the question, has God ever answered no to one of your prayers? And she says, she asked, well, when was that and how did you feel about it? Well, Y volunteered to answer the questions. She said she had been praying about her very difficult relationship with her husband and had been asking God to change her husband, and God had said no. God told her he wanted to change her, teaching her to accept her husband and to live in her situation by his grace. She just needed to keep trusting and keep praying, but leave her husband to God. Since Y has accepted that answer from the Lord, it has transformed her attitude, and miracle of miracles, God is beginning to do some changes in her husband. But not because that's what her goal is. But her goal is, God, change me and help me to live by your grace. So God has used prayer in a miraculous way in the heart of Y, and has not changed everything completely yet in her marriage. But prayer has made a difference and is beginning to bring unity to them as a couple. And what God has done in her marriage, in her family, he is now beginning to bring it again into their church. As the church was really struggling. When they were having all their big marital problems, their church was really struggling. But God, because he's bringing unity to them, is bringing unity into their church as well. And things are, I think, progressing slowly, but they're going well. So I just praise the Lord for what he's doing through our Alliance churches there. We have, in our Alliance churches there, we have 2,500 believers in 55 churches. And one of the neat things about our churches is that many of them have set up prayer as a focus in their church. And they meet for prayer on Saturday mornings, prayer and fasting. Every Saturday morning they're together. And they pray from 8 in the morning till 12 at noon. And another thing that they do, which I love, is that they sometimes they have cell phones now, and they will ping you on the cell phone. And when they ping you, it's to tell you, I'm praying for you. And that feels so good, because you know that there's someone standing behind you in prayer. And you know, we all have cell phones. Why can't we set up that kind of a thing with ourselves? You know, we don't have to answer the phone, but if somebody pings you, you know, hey, they're thinking about me today and they're praying for me. And maybe when Darcy goes and talks to the pastor this Wednesday, some of you can ping him just before he goes there, and he'll, hey, they know I'm having this meeting and they're going to be praying for me. Why can't we do that? Encourage one another that way and be unified in that way through prayer. And I just love what the Lord is doing. And sometimes at first I would answer the phone and they say, no, you didn't have to call me back. I was just letting you know that I was praying for you. And many of them have their alarms. They pray around the clock, because in this book here, it shows how to pray for different things based on the biblical watches and stuff like that in the Bible. So they have different focuses every 3 hours. And at 12 noon, the focus is praying for the nations. So at 12 noon, In many homes, and many pastors have their cell phone set for the alarm set for 12 o'clock. When it goes off, they stop what they're doing and they pray for the nations. And among the prayer for the nations, they pray for Canada. They pray for Israel and they pray for Canada because Canada has blessed, especially the Alliance Ministry in Cuba with their donations and so forth with the different projects. And so it's just really neat to see that, to be in, it just wrapped around in prayer. And God has taught me so much in about prayer as I've been in Cuba, and seeing what it's done in the lives of some of the people there, and seeing what it's done in our ministry, in my ministry with the women, and now in almost all of the ministries, we have prayer teams. Whenever an event is happening, we have two or three women in our women's ministry that they know what's happening, and they're dedicating, they're sometimes on site with us, and they're praying through while we're going through the event. And we do that with leadership seminars that we have. Our Pastor Joel does that as well. The Divine Prayer Clock. When you're having a Divine Prayer Clock retreat, around the clock, they assign an hour to people and groups of people all through the night. 1, 3, 4 in the morning, they are gathered to pray for the prayer covering for that event. And so it's just so exciting to see what prayer has done to bring God's people together, to bless in the lives of so many people there, in my women's ministry, in the evangelism. When they went out with in the fall, they had a big evangelistic campaign in the center in the east that Joel took a bus of about 40 people, and on the bus were about 10 or 15 just prayer warriors. They weren't participating in the preaching or the music or anything, but they were praying. Whenever there was an they'd stop and have an evangelistic meeting, that team was praying. And so it's just so beautiful to see what God can do through prayer. And I've been growing in this area. And I just thank the Lord that the Cuban people are, I know they're praying for me. And, you know, it's really exciting. Just one more little story and I'll stop. In 2010, how many of you remember that Abbotsford, British Columbia was called the crime capital of Canada? 2009, 2010. Well, around that time, Seven Oaks Alliance Church went to Cuba and started a partnership with one of our Alliance churches there, pastored by Joel Magdaleno, who is now our Alliance Church national president. And they shared, after they established this partnership, when I went to Cuba in 2010, I shared with them about this ignominious title that was given to Abbotsford, the crime capital of Canada. And that church started praying for Joel's church, for Abbotsford, British Columbia, and for what was happening there. There was mobs, there was gangs, there was drug lords, there was just a whole bunch of horrible murders happening in Abbotsford. And 2010, going into 2011, God answered that prayer. Of course, Abbotsford churches were praying as well. But I just want to show you how the Cuban church united with the Canadian church and just prayed that God would break that bondage. They've arrested a whole bunch of gang people and put them in jail. They arrested, they went into high schools. The police would give lectures on crime and on gang, the dangers of being a member of a gang. And God came through and he answered prayer. So it's just so exciting. So you want God to bring unity here? I can take that prayer request back to Cuba. And when the Cubans pray, they're like a dog with a bone. They don't let go until God comes through. Or until God says to them, okay, you've prayed enough. I'll take it from here. But they are just fervent in prayer. And persevere. So any requests, and that's the beautiful thing of the partnership, the Seamless Link partnership, that it's not just you're praying for me, but we can pray for you as well. So if you want a real strong prayer base from our Cuba churches, then, well, I'll share your request down there, and they'll be praying for you as well, that God will bring that miracle here. He did it in Abbotsford for crime. Why can't he do it in his churches here? Right, Darcy? Amen.